Okay. Are we on? I think we're on. Okay, hey everyone, my name is Austin Serafin. That's A-U-S-T-I-N is my first name. My last name is spelled S-E-R-A-P-H-I-N. AustinSerafin.com. You can find me there, and you can go to my blog as well from there, which I encourage you to do. I also have business cards if you'd like any. So what I'm going to give tonight is a talk, an improved version of a talk that I've given once already. It's something I like to call Austin's Accessibility Adventure, so I hope you enjoy. So firstly, a little about me. I've been blind since birth. I was born in 1977. I'm blind because of ROP, retinopathy of prematurity. I started with computers at a young age. I got my first computer when I was about 7 or so, an Apple IIe, which still works.
Wow.
and that was the first computer that had what's called a screen reader. That's the type of program that reads the screen, that renders the screen, and takes the screen and turns it into text so that a blind person can use it. After I used the Apple II, I moved to MS-DOS. After that, I used Windows, unfortunately. The thing with Windows is the most popular screen reader costs around $1,000. There is a free one now called NVDA, which is gaining market share, which I'm very glad about. So I just couldn't deal with Windows. It just sent me into a rage. So I moved to Linux and got very heavily into that. Linux is all free. Everything's open. It does have a screen reader called SpeakUp built right into the kernel of the operating system, which means it's very easy to make an accessible system if you need a Linux desktop. It's not really the optimal desktop experience, but if you're into Unix and Linux and all that good stuff, it's good to know. So in June of 2010, I got an iPhone, and for me, that was really the turning point because that got me back into Apple products. It's like coming full circle. All of Apple's products have accessibility built in. After the iPhone, I got two Macs. I got an iMac and a MacBook Air. And I think right now the Mac gives the best desktop experience. It lets a blind person use a trackpad for the first time. Think about how long sighted people have used mice and trackpads. For the first time now, we can do that in macOS. I also got an iPad, which makes a great media player and book reader. iBooks works particularly well with it. Very nice to read with. A keyboard cover, by the way, also helps the iPad. I would very highly recommend if you have an iPad or an iPad mini to pick up a keyboard cover. It's a metal cover that actually has a keyboard in it, and it makes it a lot easier because then you have to deal with the stupid on-screen keyboard. So the iPhone changed my universe as soon as it entered it. I wrote that then in an article that went viral, and it's still just as true today. The blind usually get nothing from companies, so we felt skeptical, a lot of us, and we kind of made fun of the whole thing. We're like, come on, this is stupid. How can a blind person even use an iPhone? Apple's just doing this, you know, to get good PR or whatever. So a friend of mine bought an iPhone and just went nuts about it, and I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, really? And she kept going. I'm like, what about the touchscreen? She said, oh, it's so awesome. It's so great. I'm like, really? All right. So I went to the AT&T store with my mom to check it out. I'd read the manual the night before, which most customers probably don't do, but I did do. So I had a really good idea of exactly what to expect, and I began using it immediately. It was amazing. I just picked it up, started using it immediately. I checked the weather. The feature that really sold me on it is that the Stocks app actually renders its stock charts. So I could read a stock market market chart for the first time, and that just blew me away. And it's like, that kind of detail shows the commitment that Apple has to accessibility. So it was like, all right, sold, done. We went off and bought the thing, and my mom asked the AT&T guy, oh, can you get a text message on it? And the AT&T guy just said, oh, I don't know, I don't think so, which is the usual experience with AT&T and a lot of Apple people, too. They know VoiceOver exists. They know it has something to do with helping the blind, but they don't really know what it can do. So I was like, whatever, I don't care. I know I can do it. Just try it. And she texted it, and of course, it came right through, and everyone felt really moved, even the AT&T guy. So the iPhone just opened up my world immediately. And I just, because now for the first time we could text messages to each other. My mom prefers texting, she has a hearing aid, so for her it's easier to text us. And so for the first time she could send me a text. And just entering that whole world. Again, sighted people have been sending each other text messages for years. And finally I could do that and all these other things and have a phone and, you know, a cell phone that I could actually use instead of just dial numbers on. And just all these incredible things. So I took it home just loving it immediately. I mean, I love technology, so I just got completely immersed into it. And I wanted to try to buy some apps. I heard everyone talking about apps. Oh boy, now I can finally buy apps. Okay, so I kind of started thinking about it. And the thing that's really interesting about the iPhone and the blind is that the iPhone makes a lot of assistive devices obsolete. The blind are used to paying a lot of money for crap, I'm sorry to say, a lot of it. But it has to be because it's made just for the blind. It's stuff it's niche technology, and so it costs a lot. It doesn't have the support that a mainstream product would have. So I started thinking about these different technologies. And so I kind of started thinking, all right, what about like a color identifier? That's something I always wanted, but I never wanted to spend $200 on one. I didn't want one quite that much. So I typed in color identifier, and it came right up in the App Store for $2. I bought it and installed it and started feeling really good, but it kept saying black. And I thought, why is it just saying black? And I thought, well, maybe it's not so great after all. And then I realized it was, you know, like probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, totally dark, no lights on. So, of course, it would say black. I turned on a light, and out came all the colors. And it was really cool, and I used it to look at colors of objects and sunsets and all kinds of cool things. An interesting note about that app, and this kind of showcases the interesting thing about how Apple's built accessibility into the iPhone, is that the author of that app, of that color identifier app, didn't write that app for the blind. He had no idea. I sent it to him, and he just couldn't believe it. He's like, oh, that's amazing. He didn't even write it for the blind. So that's the cool thing. That's really the magic here of what Apple's done. And by the way, a lot of color identifiers have a light detector, and there is a light probe app, a light detector app called Light Detector that costs nothing as well. So there's so many examples of this. There's a money reader. You could spend $100 on one of them, or you could get an app for $10 or even less. To do money reading, identifying currency, one of those simple everyday tasks that the blind have to do. There's object recognition. You could buy devices for $1,200. You could get an app like TapTapC for free, which I heard some people chatting about earlier. GPS, you could spend $800 on GPS, or you could spend, I like a GPS app for $15 called Blind Square. I've been beta testing that. Blind Square uses Foursquare's database of crowdsourced locations. And the guy's really cool, and it's a really great GPS app, I think. So that's $15. Let's see, scientific calculator. They have them for $250, or you could buy the talking scientific calculator app for $5. There's a note taker. You know, there are devices that cost $1,000 that just do basic note-taking functions. Just have file editing and calendar and contacts, all that. And of course, the iPhone has that built right in, so that's free. And, by the way, the iPhone has a much better web browser. Mm-hmm. All of those note takers have pitiful web browsers. Yes. Disgusting. There's a great app for the iPhone that's now free called Flexi.
Yes.
And that allows the blind to type like a sighted person. It gives you a flexible keyboard. It's a wonderful app. I love Flexi a lot. And a lot of apps that help the sighted help the blind. And I could spend, you know, 15 minutes, half hour just going through all those apps. One example, of course, is that there are apps like, you know, with apps like ManyPages and Grubhub and Foursquare, you can read a menu while sitting in a restaurant. Little things like that are things that the iPhone helps with. So if we add all these things up that I just mentioned, that would be $3,600 for assistive devices, or $232, $200 for the iPhone, $32 for the apps. We'll throw in a Bluetooth keyboard, call it an even $300, and that means that you would spend 12 times more on assistive devices than you would buying an iPhone and these apps. Another really cool thing about the iPhone is that people recognize an iPhone. When you take out your iPhone, everyone knows what you're doing. They know what you have in your hand. Unfamiliar technology makes employers feel unsure. So, it sounds like we have a bunch of voiceover users in the audience. Should I give a demonstration of voiceover? Is that something people still want, or is everyone hip to that? You want me to do it? Okay.
Yeah, I think you should.
Great, okay. Well, so how to get to voiceover. you go to settings, and then you go to general, and then you go to accessibility, and you'll see there voiceover. You turn it on.
What are you doing to turn it on?
I wouldn't. What?
What do you do to turn it on?
Oh, well, first you go to settings.
Yeah. You flip.
And then general, and then accessibility, and then you'll see a thing that says voiceover. You hit that, and it opens up this other menu, and then there's a button there that says voiceover
on. The way
on.
You do it is you flip. I'll show you how to do
okay.
it.
And you probably shouldn't do it right away because it does change the gestures if you're a sighted person that you're used to. And if you don't know what you're doing, it could make your phone kind of unusable. Sighted people, you might also want to turn on the triple tap home feature. You can make it so if you tap the home key 3 times, it toggles the voiceover. And that can be very handy when you have to be passing your device back and forth or whatever. So the amazing thing about voiceover is that voiceover combines a two-dimensional and a one-dimensional view. So a screen reader, the thing about it is, a screen you can think of as a two-dimensional output. It's got width and it's got height. And speech is a one-dimensional output. You're sitting here listening to me, and you're going from beginning to end. And unless this is a recording, you can't do anything about it. You have to listen until I get to the end. It's a line. So it's a one-dimensional output. And so a screen reader has the task of taking a two-dimensional output and translating it into a one-dimensional output. And Apple has used both of those paradigms here. So I'm going to try to do this. This is going to be a little weird to do. Hold on this. So if I tap around the screen, well, I should. This is very low tech, everyone. Let me slow it down for you. So, general, doing exactly what I just told you all to do. I have it fast, but you can slow. Here's voiceover. And here we go. And now we can slow down. And there we go. So, tapping around the screen gives a two-dimensional view. You see, I'm tapping around my home screen and I'm seeing the different things. So that's the two-dimensional view. And then the one-dimensional view is swiping. If you take one finger and you swipe to the right, you hear the next element on the screen. So you can go back and forth. It's a one-dimensional line. And that's why it works so well. There's an actual reason why VoiceOver works so well. And that's what it is. And by the way, you double tap to activate a item. And you can scroll between pages with 3 fingers. And if you need finer resolution, you can use what's called the rotor. And that's you just turn.
Characters.
And now you can do by characters, swiping up and down with one finger. We'll let you navigate by character, or by words, or by lines, or anything else. So that's basically, believe it or not, all you need to know about the basic iPhone uses. That's how simple. Yeah.
May I just interject one thing on the Apple's website? There's
yes.
a great video that you, as a visual person, you can watch, but you can also listen to how VoiceOver works.
Oh, okay.
In a pretty astute way.
Cool.
So I don't know if you've listened to that, Austin, or not, but it's.
I don't think I have. What's the title of this video?
You know, Austin, I'll
talking about a video on the Apple site.
And I'll send you a link.
Okay, well, okay.
I'm an ex-Apple employee.
You're an ex-Apple employee?
Yeah.
And what's your name?
Catherine.
Catherine? Okay. Catherine, the ex-Apple employee, tells us that there's a good voiceover video.
I'll send you the, take your,
on the page. Yeah, I'll give you my card. Absolutely. So I wanted to cover one other thing. Are there any other questions, anything else about technology or iPhones or any of that goodness? You can just yell it out.
I would just like to say one thing, if I may.
Yeah.
And that is just how easily Braille displays can be paired
yes.
with iOS devices. And I have my Braille display paired, and it's just amazing, because then what you can do is in iBooks, you can not only listen to iBooks, but then you can actually read it in Braille, too.
That's amazing.
Which makes it pretty amazing all around.
What Braille display are you using?
Well, right now I'm using an Apex.
Okay.
However, when that Apex runs out, I'm not sure what I'm going to do because, you know, I think the price for Braille displays is going to come down.
I certainly hope you're right.
I hope I'm right, too.
I'd like one, but yeah, they're pretty expensive.
I'm going to use a refresher Braille.
Okay.
Some
work better with iOS than others.
Yeah.
You really have to pick and choose. That's a great observation for people who didn't hear she was talking. What's your name?
Suzanne.
Suzanne was talking about using Braille displays with iOS. And yeah, they've really done a lot to make the Braille experience very nice under iOS as well. And a keyboard, too. They have a lot of good keyboards. So if you really want, you can really get into it. You can get a Bluetooth keyboard and a Braille display and all that stuff. So, yeah, very good point.
Are Braille displays Bluetooth? Or?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they use Bluetooth. Everything uses Bluetooth. Anything else? No, wait, I'm not done. I have one more topic. I wanted to talk about another very cool... Let's see, look at that. I've even lost my place. I wanted to talk about echolocation. Now, echolocation, just to be perfectly clear about this, we're kind of shifting gears a little. This isn't an app. This isn't a piece of technology. This uses the most powerful computer on the planet, which is the human brain. Basically, humans can see with sound by making a tongue click. And the blind can actually learn to get images from doing that. It gives all the useful details one would get with sight. It gives you distance, it gives you texture, it gives you spatial positioning, it gives you all of these useful details that you would get. It doesn't give you color, it doesn't give you really fine resolution, but you get the basics. It's good enough for navigating around. It uses a different input. The brain learns to accept reflected sound, you know, instead of reflected light, it'll reflect the echoes. It takes the reflected echoes and it will actually generate an image in the exact same way it would if your eyes saw the image through reflected light. It's not a scam, it's totally real, it's totally awesome. There's one organization called World Access for the Blind that if you're interested, I would encourage you to get in touch with. And you can also read my blog. I have some articles about that. And sighted people can learn to do it too, by the way. There are very easy exercises you can use. You can start by just making like a shh kind of a sound and just exploring different objects and then kind of move into making a click. And it's really quite cool. So I just wanted to throw that in as well. So that's Austin's accessibility adventure.
Very awesome.